It seems that many, through the years, have overlooked the great deal of teaching that we have on the subject of murmuring. And that's all found in the pages of God's inspired word. It is apparent that we all have a tendency to murmur from time to time. But we fail to realize that this can be wrong in the sight of God. In fact, there are some who are given to constant murmuring and who have deceived themselves into thinking that they are as God would have them to be. And this should cause every God-fearing person to be very concerned. The word murmur is defined as low, muttered complaints, secret displeasure, not openly avowed. And the word grumbling is given as one of the definitions. Also, one has observed that the secret grumbling that buzzes, there it is, the secret grumbling that grumblings that buzz away until they are heard are murmurs. And that comes from A.T. Robertson's word pictures and Thayer's Greek to English lexicon. Now, Vines, New Testament dictionary, tells us that it is transliterated from ganguzo, which means to mutter, murmur, grumble, say anything in a low tone. And in the English, the word actually comes across to gong. And it is an onomatopoeic. If I pronounced that wrong, you can correct me later. Pick, okay, I got coaching from the other room. A word representing the significance by the sound of the word, as in the word murmur itself. And it's used now of the laborers in the parable of the householder in Matthew 20 and verse 11. Of the scribes and the Pharisees against Christ. It's also used in Luke 5 and 30. And of the Jews in general, it's used by Jesus in John 6, 41 and 43. Now, of the disciples, it's used in John 6, verse 61. And in John 7, 32, of debating secretly. Interesting. Of the Israelites, Paul uses it in 1 Corinthians 10:10 twice, where it's also used as a warning to us today. Now, murmuring, if you recall, and a lot of this is going to reflect on the meetings we've been doing on a daily basis, but murmuring is a sin that led to the destruction of many of the Israelites. You remember in Numbers 16, we read of the rebellion and the murmuring of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and those who were led away by them. They led a rebellion against God's servants, Moses and Aaron. And the earth, listen now, the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up. And their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods, in verse 32. Now, verse 35 tells us that 250 of the men that were with the murmurers were destroyed by fire that came forth from God. Some of the Israelites murmured that Moses and Aaron were responsible for all these deaths. So God killed a total of 14,700 of them with plague. Now this illustrates God's displeasure with those who would murmur against his established authority, which was being properly administered. And this is a lesson we need to heed today. The continual discontent of the children of Israel and their persistent murmurings brought about the destruction in the wilderness of that entire generation. They murmured because of lack of water. They murmured because of the food that they had to eat. And we find that they murmured because of their fear of the children of Anak. And we read of his condemnation of them in Numbers 14, verses 27 through 30, as he vows that their bodies will all fall in the wilderness. But interestingly enough, murmuring is also condemned in the New Testament. Paul refers to this sin as the sin that destroyed many of the Israelites. It says in 1 Corinthians 10, that's 1 Corinthians 10, beginning with verse 6. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor, listen to it, murmur as some of them, excuse me, just a moment. Okay, murmur as some of them also murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now look at verse 11. These things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, on whom the ends of the ages have come. We are expected to learn from these examples, not to murmur. But again, in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14, Paul says, do all things without murmuring and disputing. Now, I want you to let that soak in for a minute. There is no place for murmuring in the life of a faithful servant of the Lord. And verse 15 tells us why it is important to refrain from murmuring, that you may become blameless, harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. A murmurer is not. Now notice, a murmurer is not blameless, harmless, nor a faithful child of God, and is walking in darkness. Jude 16 speaks of those who are murmurers. Listen to it carefully. These are murmurers, complainers, walking according to their own lust, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. Notice how Jude describes murmurers as those who walk after their own lust, so self-centered that they complain constantly about anything they don't like or that doesn't suit their own personal whims. Well, what then should the Christian's attitude be towards murmuring? Well, first of all, obviously, we recognize that it is sinful. 1 Corinthians 10 and 10. nor murmur as some of them murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. This is a direct statement, and this direct statement carries with it the force of a command. A murmur can do great harm and cause irreparable damage to a congregation. A murmurer will do this by causing constant discontent and discouragement among the members, which often results in deadly apathy. A murmurer also sows discord among brethren. And this is one of the seven things which God hates. Look with me at Proverbs 6, beginning at verse 16. That's Proverbs 6. Whoops, I'm sorry. Proverbs 6, beginning at verse 16. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. But the second thing I want you to notice is that Christians must constantly examine themselves and be sure that they are not guilty of murmuring. Look at 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you are in the faith. Prove yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. And the third thing here is, a child of God will never lend receptive ears nor endorsement to murmuring. Paul, in describing the condition of the Gentiles in Romans 1, 28-32. That's Romans 1, 28-32. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whispers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, now notice, not only do the same, but approve of those who practice them. It is a sin to approve, either by listening or encouraging, those who are engaging in the sin of murmuring. Furthermore, we need to remember that if one will murmur to you, they may just as well murmur about you. Exhort one who is guilty of murmuring to take their complaint either to the person directly involved or cease their complaining. Most often they will not face the ones against whom they are murmuring. And the fourth thing we want to look at is that Christians will exhort murmurers, all murmurers, everywhere, to repent. That's right. They want them to repent of their sins and get busy and work lawfully in the kingdom of God. In Philippians 2, we'll read Philippians 2 verses 14 and 15. Notice now, do all things without murmuring and disputing. Now that's, again, a command we've read before. And here's the reason, that you may become blameless, harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom, what do? You shine as lights in the world. That is what we're interested in. We don't want to make our person cloudy or muddy by setting forth to the world that we are complaining. So often, the cause of Christ is hurt by murmurers in the church who go out in the world and, in the vernacular, air the church's dirty laundry. We have no business doing that in the first place. But they go to their neighbor and say, oh, we got a troublemaker and we got this and the preacher preaches too long and all this. And why don't you come worship with us? Now, you can see how that's going to work out. You can see. Nobody's going to want to come into a mess like that. Nobody's going to want to come into that environment. And we hurt the cause of Christ because of the way that we act. And we need to remember, we are to be lights in the world. That's what God expects of us. But the final thing that we want to look at here is that the faithful Christian will support the discipline of murmurers who persist in their sin, realizing that God's displeasure with such, manifested in the Old Testament accounts we cite at the beginning of our lesson, is serious. You know, we remember Paul's instruction that he gave to the brethren at Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 14. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 14. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now, there's no place in here for socializing with this disorderly brother at all. But there is a place for admonishing. And we should be sure that our association with him is limited to admonishing. Because if he interprets that, well, I know the church has withdrawn from me, but you're still my buddy. Well, he won't think that there's anything to it. And how are you going to save him? Do you really care about the soul of someone who's put themselves in jeopardy, no matter what the cause is, but specifically for the cause of murmuring? You really care about him? And if you do, you're not going to have the same social relationship that you enjoyed with him when he was faithful to the Lord. You are to treat him as your brother who needs admonishing. That's basically what he's saying. Not as an enemy, but do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. That, unfortunately, is a difficult command for some people to understand. And in fact, some people just flat out disregard it. They believe that church discipline is something that died with the apostles. And that's not so. That's not so. The apostles gave us instructions on what to do and how to handle disorderly brethren. And this is very simple here. Paul says, if anyone does not obey our word. Now, in this case, he's talking about a specific example in that, in the book of, 2 Thessalonians. But there are other examples that are used. And anything that puts a brother's soul in jeopardy should be sufficient cause, if he won't repent, to discipline him. And a faithful child of God will support that discipline and support it until they repent, until they come back. Let us murmur not as some of them murmured and were punished by the destroyer. We know that God doesn't react in the same way today as he did in biblical times. And we ought to be glad. We ought to be glad that he doesn't. Because I'm afraid there'd be a whole lot less people in the church today. But he is merciful. He looks out for us and wants us to repent. And if we will repent, he will bring us back again. But if not, we will face eternal destruction. God will see to it that we do not spend eternity in heaven if we're guilty of sin and don't repent.